All right, how many here enjoy getting into the Word of God?
Yeah.
It's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Spiritual food. All right, tonight's message is persistence before the reward. You know, we're in the season called Lent, which began this past Wednesday. It's called Ash Wednesday. And Lent is a 40-day period heading up to Holy Week, on which Good Friday of that week, Jesus is crucified. You know, Jesus was brutally executed by the Romans at the wish of the Jews. But the good news is he rose again after 3 days, right? So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. You know, he took our sins upon himself at that cross over 2,000 years ago, so that we could live eternally with God forever in heaven one day by our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died upon that cross so that we would not have to die in hell. That's good news, right? You know, his cross preceded his crown of glory and honor, his reward, as it says in Hebrews 2:9. Let me read it to you. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus suffered, he went to the cross, but now he has received his crown of glory and honor. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven forever, rejoicing with the saints. But did you know that there is a crown of life awaiting you and me in heaven? Our reward as we persevere under trial. James writes this in James 1:12. He writes this. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, maybe you're going through a trial in your life right now. Maybe some family member has separated himself or herself from you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they're calling you a religious nut. You're being persecuted for your faith. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you've got to persevere. Take up that cross, because you know what? When you get to heaven one day, you will be crowned with the crown of life. It's awaiting you and me in heaven one day with all the other saints. Is that good news here tonight? You know, though a crown of life, a reward, awaits us in heaven, there is also a reward in the here and now awaiting us on this earth. Let me say it again. Though a crown of life, a reward, awaits us in heaven, there is also a reward in the here and now awaiting us on this earth. God's got a miracle for your life. He's got a breakthrough for your life. But it will require us taking up the cross of persistence, which is relentless continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty. God's got a reward for you on this earth, but before you reach that reward, you've got to carry the cross of persistence, which is a relentless continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty. Hence tonight's message, persistence before the reward. God wants to reward you with the miracle, as I said a few moments ago, the breakthrough that you're needing in your life. I don't know what you're needing in your life. You and God know the miracle, the thing you are needing in your life. You've got to have faith in God. You've got to know that you know deep down on the inside that God can turn your situation around. But in the natural, you'll have to do something. You'll have to take up the cross of persistence. Say it with me. Persistence is a relentless continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty. All right, so Jesus gave an awesome parable concerning a widow who was so persistent. She did not give up. So tonight we're going to read from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And there's key words in this parable, in certain verses of this parable that we're going to look at tonight. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Those are key words. They should always pray and never give up. Those words communicate persistence. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. In other words, he had no reverence for God. He could care less what other people thought. He was just focused on himself. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that town, okay, key words again, who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." She kept coming to him over and over and over. That signifies persistence. Verse 4, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow, here's the key words again, keeps bothering me, keeps troubling me, signifies she was bothering him over and over and over again, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me, or that she in her continual coming will not wear me out. Basically, he was saying if she continues to come to me, she's going to cause me pain, she's going to wear me out, so to avoid being worn out by this lady, I am going to grant her justice, vindication against her enemy. Verse 6. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. In other words, Jesus was saying, the unjust judge said, because of the lady's persistence, paraphrased, he was going to bring about justice for her. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? In other words, Jesus was saying, if this unjust judge said that he would bring about the help that the lady needed, vindication against her enemy, how much more so will the just judge of the world bring the help, the justice that you're needing in your life right now for his chosen ones, operative words again, who cry out day and night, over and over and over. Will he keep putting them off? In other words, even though it seems like the answer to their prayer is being delayed and delayed for a long time, at the nick of time, he will see that they get justice and quickly get it. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So we looked at so many different words here in this parable that communicate the idea of persistence, that the widow kept doing something over and over and over again. You know, the widow was in need, right? She had no husband that could help her. Humanly speaking, she was helpless in herself. But she had two things on her side. Two principles that we can pull from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. She had two things on her side. She had what? Number one, she had trust. She had faith that this judge could help her, that he could vindicate her against her enemy. She's like, there's nobody else, but if there's one person that can help me, that can bring justice to me against my enemy, it is this judge. She had faith, she had trust that this judge could help her. Would you agree here tonight? The second thing that she had, she did something in the natural. She physically went, it doesn't say it in the scripture, in the parable, but we can just imagine that she physically got herself up day after day and went to where this judge was and maybe physically knocked on his door, not once, not twice, not only 3 days, but persistently day after day after day after day. You know, she could have been ashamed of having to go to the judge day after day after day. She might have gotten tired, you know. Maybe she felt like quitting and giving up. But she picked up the cross of persistence and knocked anyway. She was relentless in a commitment to a course of action in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the potential shame, in spite of maybe wanting to give up. She did it over and over and over and over again. And at the end of her cross of persistence was what? Was the reward, the help, the vindication against her enemy by the judge. And friends, tonight you might feel like the widow woman. Maybe you're in need in some area of your life. You and God know what that need is. Maybe it's financially, health-wise, emotionally, maybe in need concerning a relationship in your life. You and God know what the need is. You know it very well. But you need to have what the lady had. You have to have the two things that this lady, this widow, had. You need to have faith in the just judge of the world. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, faithfully seek him. Hebrews 11:6. You've got to have faith in God like the widow had faith, trust, that judge was able to help her. You know, you might be facing tonight maybe financial difficulty in your life, a financial setback. You know, you're needing money maybe to pay a bill. And I'm not talking about a faith that comes to God just for a quick financial fix, like to pay one bill. Oh God, I've got this $500 expense. And God, I'm just praying that you just bring me the money. You know, some have erroneously preached in the past, making God look like a divine Santa Claus, that you just cry out to God and he drops it into your lap. God is not a divine Santa Claus. God requires faith. God doesn't want to give you a one-time financial fix or a two-time financial fix. God wants to give you a consistent, continual flow of resources, not just to pay your bills every month, but so that you can put some money aside and maybe upgrade your standard of living. Maybe go from this place eventually to an apartment to buy and purchase a better mode of transportation. God loves faith. God honors faith. If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me that says that with faith it is possible to please God. Would you agree here tonight? Amen. Remember, God is not just some type of divine Santa Claus. He's got the miracle in his hand for you. He's got the miracle. He wants you to have faith, like I said, that he's got this miracle, this breakthrough in his hand for your life. Would you agree tonight? Say it with me tonight. God has got in his hand that miracle breakthrough for my life. And friends, that is faith speaking. You need to know, this is what faith is. You need to know that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, like the widow in Luke 18, that God can help you, can vindicate you against the enemy. What is your enemy tonight? Is it a financial setback? Sickness in your body? A broken relationship? What is your enemy tonight? You need to come to God and pray to him and cry out to him, not once, not twice, but continuously, persistently, and say, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. God, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know deep down on the inside that you've got this miracle in your hand for my life. And for his reward, that miracle to become real in your life, he wants you to do something in the natural like the widow woman did in Luke chapter 18. She had faith, she had trust that the judge could vindicate her, but she also did something in the natural. She got herself up physically day after day. She went to where the judge was and she knocked on his door. Knocked on his door persistently. She kept coming to the judge. God wants you to do something in the natural. He wants you to persist. He wants you to continue relentlessly in a course of action in spite of difficulty. This is called taking up the cross of persistence. But at the end of your cross, on the other side of your cross of persistence, is the reward. So tonight we're going to talk practically a little bit. Maybe you're in need of finances tonight. Remember what I said a few moments ago. God is not a God who just wants to give you some financial fix and just drop a bag of money onto your lap. He can do it, but most likely he's not going to do it that way. You know, if you need finances and don't have a job, you may need to get a job first. You know, that's the way God provides. He provides through employment. And you got to be persistent. So you got to get up in the morning, go that week, fill out an application, second day application number two, third day application number three, land the interview, you don't get the job. Week number two, you fill out the application again, application number two, application number three, you land an interview, you don't get the job. Oh, you get up the third week and you're like, man, I'm getting tired at this point. I feel like quitting. Don't quit, persist. God is wanting you to persist in the natural. Remember, he's got the miracle in his hands. He's got the pieces. He wants you to have faith that he's got the miracle in his hands, but he's wanting you to do something in the natural. You get up week number three, fill out an application, number one, number two, number three, land an interview, don't get the job. Week number four comes around. You do the same thing again. You persist. You're relentless in this course of action. Fill out an application once, twice, three times. Week four, you land the interview and you get the job. It was difficult. It was tough. You knew that God had the miracle. You knew that God had the job. He had the provision. But you had to persist in this natural course of action without giving up. And then the employer tells you, the boss says, well, I need you to come in at 9 o'clock in the morning and leave by 4:30. So you show yourself to be faithful. You come in early, 8:30, and you leave at 5 o'clock. You come in the next day at 8:30 and leave at 5 o'clock. Not once, not twice, but day after day, week after week, month after month. You're persistent and faithful in the course of action to the point where the boss looks at you and says, you know what? You've been so faithful. You've been persistent doing the same thing over and over, completing the tasks that I have given you. This is a hypothetical, of course. That I'm going to raise your salary from $12 an hour to $18 an hour. The reward. And you start to see that the finances are coming in. Now you've got more money at the end of your month than you have bills. You're putting money aside. You're saving money. Eventually you can go from this place maybe to an apartment. And from a bike to maybe owning a car. But it's going to come about through persistence. God is super. We serve a miracle working God. He's got that miracle in his hand for your life. Whatever it is that you might be facing tonight. But like the widow woman, he's wanting you to do something in the natural. He wants you to persist. He wants you to take step after step after step, even though it gets tough and it gets boring and you get tired and you feel like you want to quit. You do it anyway and you carry the cross of persistence. On the other end of the cross of persistence is the reward that God has for your life. I can't stress enough how important, friends, this is for you to try to remember tonight and put it into practice. You got to take the step and you got to do it again and again and again without quitting, without giving up. I want to read you an illustration from the Preacher's Source of Creative Sermon Illustrations. And it's called His Secret. In a 1992 Reader's Digest article titled The Ultimate Key to Success, Suzanne Chazin wrote, "Every day a fatherless boy gazed at the fence separating his family's ramshackle cabin from the Glen Lakes Country Club golf course on the outskirts of Dallas. What chance did a poor Chicano boy with a seventh grade education have of being welcomed into this world? Yet the boy was determined. First, he gained entrance to the grounds as a gardener. Then he began caddying and playing a few holes at dusk. He honed his putting skills by hitting balls with a soda bottle wrapped in adhesive tape. Today, no fence keeps Lee Trevino, two-time U.S. Open winner, from being welcomed into any country club in the nation. Sure, Trevino had talent, but talent isn't what kept him from quitting after he placed an embarrassing 54th in his first U.S. Open. His secret was perseverance. Persistent people know that they can succeed where smarter and more talented people fail. Successful people understand that no one makes it to the top in a single bound. What truly sets them apart is their willingness to keep putting one step in front of the other, no matter how rough the terrain." Good news, right? And it works even in other areas. Your health, for instance. Maybe you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure or diabetes. And you might cry out to God and say, "God, I just need you to drop into my lap low normal blood pressure or removal of the diabetes." Remember, God is not a divine Santa Claus. He most likely is not going to just drop that into your lap. He's got the miracle of healing, physical healing, in his hand for you. He wants you to have faith that he can do it for you, that he can make that physical healing real in your life. But he's wanting you to do something in the natural to receive that miracle from his hand. He wants you to persist in a course of action, commitment to a course of action relentlessly in spite of the difficulty and the challenge. And so maybe you might need to change some things in your life. Maybe you might have to cut some of the foods out that are bad, the sugars, the carbohydrates, commit to an exercise plan, cut certain things out of your diet that are bad for you, do it day after day, not just 2 or 3 days or 4 or 5, but day after day, week after week, month after month, and exercise, walk 20, 25 minutes a day, not once and then twice and then you give up, but do it day after day, week after week, month after month, and watch the miracle provision of God being made manifest in your life. Watch his physical healing take place in your life. You got to have faith like the widow. You've got to trust and know that God can help you at the point of your need. But like the widow, you've also got to do something in the natural. She kept knocking at the judge's door day after day after day. Day after day, even though it was tough. Even though she probably wanted to quit and maybe was ashamed, she did it anyway and received the miracle from the judge's hand. Vindication against her enemy. Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got a miracle for your life. You've got to know, that's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, on the inside, that God can turn it around for you. You just got to know that you know, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Galatians 6 has this principle summarized so beautifully. Galatians 6, verse 9, it's in context, it's talking about sowing to please the Spirit. And in verse 9, it says this of Galatians 6, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I'm not preaching my opinion, I'm preaching the Word of God. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up, if we do not quit, if you persist in commitment to a course of action. If you are committed to a course of action in spite of difficulty, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a reward. You will see in your life the miracle-working power of God being made real. Is that good news here tonight? Is that making sense here tonight? I hope tonight that you think about the message, think about it, mull on it.
Yeah.
Just remember these two things.
Yeah.
I've got to have faith in God,
yeah.
And I have got to persist.
Yeah.
I've got to be relentless in my commitment to a course of action in spite of the difficulty. Maybe tonight you're stuck in a cave of depression. In your emotions. Maybe you're depressed on the inside. You don't want to get up. You don't want to be around people. I encourage you to start reaching out beyond yourself to somebody who is in greater need than you. Not once, not twice, but on a consistent basis. God has got in his hand the miracle of joy for your life and peace. It will become real as you continuously reach out beyond yourself into the life of somebody who is in greater need than you. Amen?
Amen?
All right, as you listen to the message tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never accepted Jesus. It all starts with accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. And maybe there's some out here tonight that have never accepted Jesus as Savior. You can do so tonight. If you've never put your faith in Jesus one time and you want to do it tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. First time, sir? Salvation, stand up. First time or recommitment? First time putting your faith in Christ? First time, sir? First time believing in Jesus. That's good. All right. Anybody else want to follow his lead? Anybody else want to follow his lead? Stand up, sir. First time? That's awesome. Okay, so repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. Today, I say, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, my spirit, my soul, my body, my finances, every part of me. Jesus, I pray that you give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life on this earth. I love you. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll see you in heaven face to face one day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to God's family. Maybe there's some of you out there tonight that accepted Jesus at one time. Maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody, and tonight you want to re-give your life back to Christ. You want to recommit your life to Jesus. If that's you tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room tonight wanting to re-give, was that you, your life back to Jesus? You raised your hand a second ago. I can stand up. Anybody else want to follow his lead? Wanting to re-give your life back to Christ. Stand up. Anybody else want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ? Anybody else? Anybody else? Want to do what these men are doing tonight? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, do you know that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with God and Jesus forever? If you don't know, you got to make your life right. Remember, the next 30 minutes is not guaranteed us. If God is speaking to you by his Holy Spirit, whispering into your ears, then do what he's telling you to do. So stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead? It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Anybody else? All right, those standing up tonight, come forward, please. Come forward to the altar. All right. Good evening. All right, those standing up, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I love you. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, my soul, my spirit, my body, my finances, my relationships, every part of me. I love you, Jesus. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. Here on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. You guys can be seated. Some of the ways to remain faithful to Christ, some of the ways for these brothers to remain faithful to Christ, reading the Word of God daily, praying to God, going to church services, finding good Christian friends, all right? And remember this, cry out to God always in prayer concerning the need in your life. Persist in prayer like the widow woman. Take natural steps, do it over and over and over again, and there will be a reward, your miracle, at the end of the cross of persistence. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Scott, I'm going to close it off.
Great message for tonight. Thank you very much. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have a recovery center at the Refuge. If you're sitting there struggling,